Yeah, thank you very much. We now come, of course, to the most important mode of transport. Sometimes when you listen to the different market shares, it's interesting that the sum of the different market shares always ends up to be more than 100. Our estimates for the importance of maritime transport, especially for developing countries, and that depends, do you take the CIF value or the FOB value, do you take ton miles or tons, but between 80 and 90% of developing countries' trade, take value or volume, is really seaborne. That's why, as we have seen also in a chart that Robert showed, you had one of the charts that went relatively quickly with the yellow bars, which are the most relevant components or explanatory variables for the trade cost model you share. Liner shipping connectivity was actually the second biggest after distance. And I will also share this. The outset for the friends in the room, it's very important to understand there are two types of shipping in the world. First, there's the container shipping, what we refer to as liner shipping. It is networks. There's cargo of many different owners on one ship. There are hundreds, thousands of containers with different owners on one ship. You can compare this to the TPV. No, you look on the map. So that's like a network of routes that connect. Bulk shipping, oil, iron ore, coal, is a totally different business. It's called tramp shipping. It is point to point. Cargo of one single owner is on one ship. And it's more comparable to a taxi or maybe a charter bus. Yeah, it's a very, very different business. In terms of the value of seaborne trade, today, I would estimate about 60% is containerized or is it liner shipping. And it's all the manufactured goods, all the global value chains is really containerized. So it's important to understand when I will now speak about liner shipping connectivity, I refer to this part, the container shipping and not the bulk shipping. Yeah. But as I said, for global value chains, for trade cost, this is the more important one. So I will speak about structure of shipping networks, trends and trade costs, and some policy implications. Shipping networks. So why do we look at connectivity? And here I also have this basically the same chart that Robert showed. Here your bars were yellow. Here it's another one from Avis et al. In red and blue. But clearly liner shipping connectivity leads to lower trade cost. The Economist said containers have been more important for globalization than freer trade. Even more important than WTO and even more important than UNCTAD. better connectivity leads to lower freight rates, leads to lower maritime transport costs, and as George also discussed a bit, the causality is of course tricky. More trade, you have more shipping supply, more competition, lower freights, more trade, or you have better services, more trade, more income to finance infrastructure, better services, and same for lower transport costs, more trade, economies of scale, we'll come back to this, lower transport costs. So how do we capture a country's liner shipping connectivity? For this, we developed the LSCI in 2004, and it's based on hard data. It's based on the timetable of the container ships. It's not a logistics perception index. It's not based on service. It is hard data from the timetables. Imagine like the TPV timetable of the buses. You can see how many connect, how often do I need to change my tram or my bus to get to the final destination? Do I have, how many bus lines do I have? Do I have bus number 5 and 3 and F? Or so that type of thing. How many companies, how many services, what's the size of the largest ship as an indicator of economies of scale, the number of ships and their total container carrying capacity. And this is on our website, so you can look up your index over since 2004. And you can do charts from the website. The best connected in this our database is China. Here we have the top 5 of Eastern Asia or Asia. Here it took Southern Asia. Interesting to see, for example, how Sri Lanka is better connected than the far bigger India. That has to do with, for example, cabotage restrictions in India. It has to do with port reforms. It has to do with geographic location. Similarly, in Eastern Africa, Djibouti is better connected than Kenya or Tanzania. Again, has to do with transshipment, with geographical location, with foreign investment in ports. Some other countries are not advancing. Here, if you take the world average, and Désolé, Paul, du Cameroun, Mais on va travailler sur ça ensemble. C'est le Cameroun qui n'a pas beaucoup avancé. Mais on va travailler sur ça. Hein. C'est le port du Cameroun. Bon, and again, the structure is like TPV, or you take the London Tube or the Metro. This is how to visualize the global liner shipping networks. No? You can see some stations are better connected than others. How many transshipments do I need to get from one to the other? And interestingly, for most pairs of countries, like for most pairs of tube stations, at least in theory, one transshipment is enough. Once you get to the circle line, or once you get to one of the, you cross, and then one transshipment is mostly enough. Some trends in this shipping network. So I hope that was clarifying. So this is liner shipping connectivity. Some trends in this. And I can confirm also what Robert said about the long-term trend in declining trade costs. This year's estimates of freight cost, which is a key component of trade cost. Same picture. There's a decline. Same picture also. Developing Africa, developing Oceania pay more than developed countries. And if you look percentage-wise, actually, the gap between those who pay more and pay less is actually increasing. So in that sense, although there's a decline, the ones who pay more compared to ones who pay less, the gap is actually somewhat increasing. What explains shipping connectivity? It's, of course, geography. Where am I located? It is very much port efficiency, transportation. We saw the same for air connectivity. It's obvious. And, of course, there's a bit the chicken and the egg question, the volume. Mm-hmm. Overall, don't shoot the messenger. This is not good news for the small economies, because the small economies, they have more trade imbalances. They do not have economies of scale. There's less competition. There are often, it's many sits are far away. And because lower volumes, port efficiency is also lower. And this chart is, I think, quite important. It shows the trend in some of the components of our index. You see how the number of companies that provide services from and to each country is actually going down. So we have oligopolistic tendencies. And especially for the SIDS, for the small island states, who are the least best connected, the least connected, sorry, of the our LCI, the bottom 10 today are small islands. The bottom 10 are small islands. When we started in 2004, only 5 of the bottom 10 were small islands. So this illustrates this negative chicken and egg thing. So you have low connectivity, low volumes, fewer ships come, and this is linked to also that the ships get bigger. That leads me to some thoughts on today's container shipping policy implications. You may have heard the biggest bankruptcy in shipping not so long ago, Hanjin Shipping. Today's container shipping, we have ever larger ships, extremely low freight rates, and a high idle fleet. They're container ships picking their noses. No, sorry, how do you say this? They're idle. I mean, they're not producing. So why is this a problem? First, total logistics costs may actually go up if you use more and more bigger ships. You save money on the seaside. You have economies of scale, more fuel efficiency, more modern ships on the seaside. But when the huge ships come to the port, you need to have a bigger hinterland, faster intermodal connections, a bigger yard, a longer crane outreach, and so on, without more cargo. No? One ship with 10,000 in one day, or two ships with 5,000 in 2 days, it's the same volume, but the bigger ship has additional cost. So that is a real problem, especially, again, for the smallest countries, smallest ports that need to dredge and have this difficulty. The second problem is this game sort of between the shipping line that in the end led to the Hanjin. I could spend hours to discuss it. It comes from my economics background. But overall, yes, everybody wants to invest in bigger ships, but the old ships are still in the market and lead to this oversupply. And then we have bankruptcies. And the third and last negative aspect we see in this is this potential oligopolies in the smallest markets. Now, if in the past you had 4 suppliers, now it's only 3. In the past you had 3, now it's only 2. Especially, again, for the SIDS, you have global lower freight costs, but the benefits of the economy of scale, the benefits of lower costs are not necessarily passed on to the client. There was actually also a World Bank study on Western African ports that confirmed that there were a lot of improvements, but not necessarily was it passed on to the client. So where are we heading? Some recommendations on how can I improve my connectivity, my shipping connectivity. First, facilitate transit. Get your neighbor's country's cargo. You know, the biggest port for German cargo in Europe is Rotterdam in the Netherlands. The biggest port for Polish cargo is Hamburg. The biggest port for French cargo is Antwerp. The biggest one for Norwegian cargo is Gothenburg. So in Europe, you have trade facilitation, transit facilitation. The countries, the ports in neighboring countries compete. In Africa, Western Africa, this does not happen. So first thing, if you want more connectivity, more cargo, be more attractive, facilitate transit. Yeah? And the good news here is that there is an increasing awareness that transit trade is actually good for the transit countries. The transit countries no longer see the neighboring landlocked countries only as something negative. And here are some photos taken in landlocked countries where you see how the neighboring transit countries' ports make publicity for their ports. I think that's a positive trend here. So they want your cargo. No? But for this, you need to facilitate transit. You need infrastructure, transit facilitation, and also competition, trucking markets. Second, let's again now facilitate competition. Do not restrict cabotage. Do not restrict trucking markets. It's a key aspect here. If you want to be attractive as a port, you have to allow as many providers as possible into your port. And also interport, it's linked. You need to facilitate transit. Last but not least, continue with the port reforms. Actually, Robert, I think, also spoke about the port of Cotonou. That's a photo of the port reforms on Cotonou here. So this is a good example. There are positive port reforms, and you do see improvement also in the connectivity. So these are the key recommendations, policy implications. Facilitate transit, facilitate competition, and continue with the port reforms. So summarizing my little intervention, I've introduced you to the concept of the shipping networks, container shipping networks. I've shared with you some concerns, trends, and trade costs. And please do not shoot the messenger. The news are not that good for the smallest players. And in terms for policy implications, actually, the key aspect, what you can do about shipping connectivity is actually a shore. It has to do with customs, with port investment, with private sector investment, reform, dredging, and getting widening your hinterland. Thank you.